Okay, good morning everybody. Boker Tov. We are on the first day of Hanukkah. Second day of Hanukkah.
Third day.
And we are in Parashat Va Miketz. Parashat Miketz, we hear the dreams of Pharaoh. And nobody can solve the dreams. And interesting enough, comes this slave, this Jewish slave, comes from the pit, and he solves the dream. It's a very interesting story. You know, that we really have to think about it and realize the great miracle that was happening here. Because this is not something that you can even start to explain. It's almost like a miracle that is against nature, against everything. Why? Because, first of all, the way it happens. You know, there was a law in Egypt that a slave cannot rule. Cannot have a job that he rules others. And this guy, with his pharaoh, Scott dreams, he tells them to the most clever people in the whole world. Because Chartumei Mitzrayim, they were known as being so clever that till now people don't realize, understand how they did things. Like how they preserved the bodies of the dead and how they built the pyramids. It's things that they did not with what we've got today. So they were very clever. So first of all, the question is, how couldn't they see this simple solution? Talking about fat cows, thin cows, the thin cows eat the fat cows, then you have wheat. Tell me the truth. You're talking about food. Well, it's very clear. On top of this, suddenly this guy says, you know what, Pharaoh, you know, I remember when I was in jail, there was this Jewish, and he talks really nasty about it, this Jewish boy, slave, and he solved my dream. So they call him to Joseph. And Yosef stands in front of Pharaoh and tells him, I'm not solving dreams. God is solving dreams. And what is Pharaoh? Pharaoh tells everybody he is God. And this slave comes from the pit in front of Pharaoh, tells him, you are not God. You know, on this spot already, he should have killed him. And he tells him, you have to solve the dream. And he tells him the dream, solves it, and not only solves it, he tells him what to do. He gives answers to Pharaoh how to deal with those famine years that are going to come. It's going to be 7 good years and then 7 bad years, and the 7 good years are going to feed the 7 bad years. Unbelievable. And Pharaoh says, you know what? You are the most clever guy. This is the guy. You are going to be in charge. And he gives him his ring. And he becomes the second in command in Egypt. Now you have to understand, this is not reasonable. 2 minutes ago, he was a slave. And now, he rules all Egypt. Why all those others don't try and kill him? I don't know what's going on there. This is a miracle. The problem is that if we want to try, we can even take the biggest miracle and try to explain it like it happened. You know, he was very clever, he was very thin. But when we look at the picture, it's not so clever. And where are all those wise people of Pharaoh? And how is it that he put a slave to rule against the rules of Egypt itself? A miracle. Hanukkah is a miracle. A big miracle. So first of all, let's understand what's going on here with Pharaoh. We see what we want to see. And that is the basic, one of the basics of this idea of the parsha. Chazal put al anisim where? In modim. When we say in the prayers of modim, what do we say thanks to God? al nisecha shebechol yom imanu, the miracles that are every day with us. In other words, Chazal wants us to understand that our existence is a miracle. Not only Joseph becomes a king in one night is a miracle. Not only the candles that are supposed to lit for one night, he lights for 8 nights. Also, our simple existence is a big miracle. And the miracles are around us all the time. That's why, by the way, the mitzvah to light the candles of Hanukkah, like the best place is between around 30 centimeters to 1 meter from the floor. Why? Because this is exactly where you look when you go. It's around you, not on top of you, not on the floor, but exactly where your eyes look when you walk in the street. In other words, the sages want to tell us the miracles are around you. Just have to open your eyes. That's the idea of Hanukkah, to open our eyes to see the miracles. So why didn't those wise people of Pharaoh see the real picture? Why did the brothers of Joseph not see Joseph standing in front of them? Why he looks like their father? He acts differently from the other Egyptian. He takes him to the palace where they are being blamed to be spies. Where in earth would the ruler of Egypt take people from the street that are blamed to be spies to his palace? He would send the intelligent people to deal with it. No, they get to his palace. Then they see that he eats differently from the Egyptian. He eats like them. The name of God is in on his tongue. And nothing. They don't see. It's like we don't see. That's the idea of Hanukkah. And it's the way you see what you want to see. And this is, I think I told you this story. It's an unbelievable story. It happened when the Second World War ended. There was the camps that they used, that they took all the refugees there. And here, I read an unbelievable story about Kabbalat Shabbat in one of those camps. And the rabbi that was conducting the prayers was Rabbi Eliezer Silver Zatzal. So everybody is gathering to pray, and there is this guy who sits outside, doesn't want to know about it. So the Rabbi Eliezer asked him, "What's wrong? Why don't you join us?" And this says, "After what I saw, there is no chance that I'm going to be a part of your prayers." That's how he talks. So the Rav says, "What have you seen?" And he told him, "You know, when we were in the concentration camp, there was this guy, this Jewish guy, he had a small book of Tehillim. And everybody wanted to read in this book of Tehillim. And he used to sell the right to read it. Like he used to take from him the portion of that the piece of bread that they had, that they had nothing. When I saw this, you want me to pray with you? This is how somebody is using the situation of other people on a Tehillim book?" And everybody like, "What can you say?" But the Rav Silver asked him an unbelievable question. "You know, you look at this one Jew that wanted to sell the right to look in the Tehillim book. Look at those plenty that were prepared to give their own small food portion in order to read in this book. This is unbelievable." When he heard this, he went in. He suddenly realized he was looking from the wrong side of the picture. Okay, there is one rotten guy, so what? But look at those people. Unbelievable what people did in order to read the Tehillim. They were prepared, willing to give him their the small food, they had nothing there, to read it in the book daily. This is Am Israel. But we need a light in order to see the right things that we when we look. Joseph was punished because his level of belief in God was not enough for Joseph. Okay. Why? Because when he saw the dream of the Sarah Mashkim, the winery of what you call him, he asked him to remind Pharaoh that he is here. He said it twice, Zachartani Vizkartani. And for those two times, he was punished for 2 years, not because he was supposed to get out 2 years before. But because he said this, he was punished with two more years. I think he learned his lesson, because the minute they take him out and he stands in front of Pharaoh, he believes in God in a level that is unbelievable, because he tells Pharaoh, you are not God. God is up there. I believe in God, and God is going to solve your dream. The interesting question is, how did Pharaoh know that the solving of this guy from the pit, this slave, Jewish slave, is the solution? How did he know? So first of all, when we see, it's very interesting what Pharaoh is saying. Pharaoh is saying, and then he calls the Chartumei Mitzrayim and he tells them his dream. Ve'en poter otam lefaro. And there is nobody solving his dreams. And look what's written here. Vayisaper lai, how many dreams did Pharaoh have?
Two.
That's what the Chartumim thought. But the real truth is, he had one dream. He's saying, Vayisaper lahem et chalomo, the dream he dreamt. But they cannot solve his dreams. What does it mean? He was dreaming, waking up in his dream, and dreaming again. Which, in this case, this is prophecy. This says, chalom betoch chalom, a dream inside a dream, is one of 60 of prophecy. It happens sometimes that you dream. That's a dream of prophecy. And we're talking about different levels. So when he's telling them, everybody normal thinks that are two dreams. But look what Joseph said. And he's telling Pharaoh, the Rav Yitzchak Bernstein, by the way, he brings exactly the words that he's trying to trick Joseph. He's not telling him exactly what, how many dreams it was. And he's just telling him in a way that you have to see and understand. And he says, in my dream, I'm standing in this, and I wake up, and I see in my dream, and think, it's not saying I'm going to sleep again. It says, I wake up, and I dreamt. And I see in my dream. And then it doesn't end with waking up. It's not saying I woke up. So what is Joseph telling? It's written. It's unbelievable how sometimes only reading right, you see things written in it. Vayomer Yosef el Paro, chalom Paro echad hu. Those are not two dreams. It's one dream. At that moment, Pharaoh understood, this guy, he knows what he's talking about. He is going to be the solution. Now, there's also a problem. You've got all the people of Pharaoh standing there, the slaves and the wisdom. Now, what would you do if this slave comes out and brings a solution that all the clever people of Egypt couldn't do? You would only look for a way to get rid of this guy. Now, what is Joseph doing in order to prevent this problem? Look. Is written here, Vayitava davar b'enei paro, Pharaoh loved the solution. Ube'enei kol avadav. And all the slaves also liked it. Why do I need to know that the slaves liked it? Pharaoh is the ruler. It's like, said, was this king that his daughter was sick, was ill, and really very, very ill. And he wanted to find, he got all the best doctors from all over, and nobody could cure the princess. So he put a notice that doesn't care who, everybody can come and try to cure the princess, because all the doctors couldn't, so what has he got to lose? And there was this doctor who, he wasn't belong to the right party, he wasn't the right place, and he, his life was very hard, nobody accepted him, and he heard about the illness, and he said, no, okay, normal times he couldn't even approach, because all the other doctors, they didn't want to know about him. But when the king says everybody can come, he went. And he came, he saw that it's very simple. A few herbs, you put them together and that's it. But how is he going to say it's so simple? The other doctors are going to kill him. You know, he has to be careful, you know. So what did he say? You know, you need a very clever guy to mix the ingredients. Now when the doctors heard this, they says, oh, Baruch Hashem, we are saved. Because otherwise, the king will think all my doctors are stupid. Because this guy comes from outside and gives me the solution, and they don't know. The same thing Joseph did. He says, you need a very clever guy in order to organize all the gathering of the wheat in the good years in order to have them for the bad years. And when the Chartumim and all the slaves heard it, they liked it. Because they said, oh, okay, we are saved. But the real truth is that you really need a clever guy to do it. And the Ora Chaim HaKadosh explains, why do you need a clever guy? You know, when it's good, you don't save it. You don't save it. You have 1 million today, 2 million tomorrow. Who is going to save? Nothing. Why so good? Going to spend everything. Enjoy life. Because it's all, now, if 3 years it goes good, wow, 3 years? It's not going to get, it cannot go, it cannot get bad. 4 years? Who cares? What? Everything is going so well, it's not going to stop. You know, that's the logic of people. Nobody will think that in 7 years it's going to stop. It's going so good, it's going to go on forever. By the way, that's one of the problems of businesses sometimes, that they go on top and they forget to look out. And then one day they find out that the competition went in and finished them off. And it happens. So you have to be careful all the time. But how do you do it? So Joseph knew that the only way to rescue the people from the bad years is when you give them the feeling in the good years of starvation. You give them the feeling that things are missing. What are you going to do? You're going to tax them. He had to tax them. He taxed them heavily. Like they had to give 10% or something to Pharaoh. Now in this way, the minute they see how much they have to pay, so they always were working because they knew that they have to pay taxes. So this is very clever. And then it's also, somebody told me this week a very interesting point. You think to put wheat in a warehouse and have it for 7 years, that you can keep it, forget it. You need to have special refrigerators, special system. You mix sand with it and thing. In other words, it was a very clever thing what he did, Joseph. So, the main thing which we have to really put in our mind, things are not always as we see them. And a lot of times we need the light, and especially the light of the Torah, to show us the right way. You know, when the Greeks came to Eretz Israel, they were, till today by the way, the Western culture, that's the Greek culture. And it's very nice. And as we talked about it, when Shem and Yefet are covering their father, Noah, as Noah is blessing them, says, Yaf Yafit Le Yefet Va Yishkon Bo Alei Shem. You are like, you know, translation, you are beautiful and you're going to dwell in or alei Shem. Who is Yefet? Yefet is Greek, Yavan. And who is Shem? Us, is Am Israel. So the Greek culture is inside of us. And it's so similar to ours that there is really a big problem to make the difference and understand what it is. And that's why we need the light of Hanukkah. Because, you know, it's very nice to go to see a nice show. It's very nice to have nice clothes. Sport is a very important thing. All those things are invention of the Greeks. Music, comedy, shows, drama, philosophy. They were the greatest philosophers till today. There are no philosophers like those Greek philosophers. Now, what is philosophy? It's on life. It's very deep things. So if you think about it, take our opinion out. Everybody who looks at it, it's the light of the world. Think about it. It's the nice life. It's the beauty of people, the beauty of the culture, the beauty of everything. So what's the problem? Why do we fight it so much? Why do we need the lights to remind us what is the real light? Because the real truth is, it's like Avraham Avinu said to Avimelech, "Rak en yirat Elokim b'makom azeh v'arabuni al dvar ishti." You've got everything. Your culture is unbelievable. You have even laws. Everything is beautiful. There is one thing you're missing: the fear of God. What does it mean, the fear of God? When we look at the world outside, and also at us, what is the most important thing for us? Us. Us. Me. And this is the Greek culture. The man, the human being, is in the center. And the whole world is for him. So for this, he's got all the laws and all the beauty and all the things. It's for. But the minute he's going to hurt him, he will turn to be a beast. To protect what is his. The Nazis, Yimach Shimam Vezichra, that's the same story. If you look back, where were the most educated people in the world? Where were the top intelligent of the world? Music, culture. By the way, they were the first one to give the Jews the freedom to do what they want. So if you look at it, tzaddikim. So what happened? How suddenly they become beasts? Because everybody was for me. Nothing for the others. That's, by the way, Hitler, Yimach Shemo Vezichro, the first thing he wanted to do before he started with the Jews, he wanted to kill all the disabled. This is one of the things he wanted to do. He says they've got no quality of life. You see how wrong this thinking is. It's like Sparta, the Greek. What was in Sparta? A baby was born. If he wasn't 100%, throw him away, kill him. They wanted only the strong one, the beautiful one. The same old story. Judaism is God is in the center, not me. What does it mean, God? We have to understand. It's not God in the meaning of God there and we are here. No, God means Klal Israel. God means the creation. That's God. God created everything. In other words, we have to love the creation. We have to live in order to give. Like, what is God? Giving. This is fearing God. The fear of God is to understand that I'm not alone in this world. That I've got all the abilities from God in order to help others. When I do this, I'm a Jew. When I only care about myself, I'm a Greek. That's a small difference. From the outside, it all looks the same. Look now, you go out. What? Haven't got hospitals going? Haven't got hospitals? Of course they have hospitals. They haven't got charities? Of course they have charities. If you look from the outside, some of them are real tzaddikim. But when you light the light of Hanukkah and you understand the fight with the Greek culture, you understand and realize what is the true, what is the light, and what is the darkness. Because think for a minute, if everybody in this world will look only for himself, where will we be? And by the way, it's happening.
It's happening in Israel.
That's the mityavnim. That's what I'm saying. Bayamim ahem, bazman hazeh. We say it all the time. And by the way, we just will end this show today. Don't know if you talk about it. If you look at Al HaNisim, there is no mention about the miracle of the candle. Look at Al HaNisim, you can read it. Read it 100 times. Nothing mentioned of the miracle of the candle. And it's amazing, because this is what we say, that's the Nisim that happened. So why don't you mention the miracle of the candle? Me'atim keneged rabim, tzadikim neged me'im. We're talking about only this war that was, if we take it in one word, purity against impurity. Tahara neged tumah, kedusha, holiness against the other side, the tumah.
It resembles Purim in the sense that God is concealed in the whole thing.
Of course.
No, it resembles that God is concealed.
By the way, Hanukkah and Purim are connected. Hanukkah is the spiritual side of Purim. Yeah. And Purim is the physical side of Hanukkah. Because in Hanukkah, what the Greek wanted is, you become like us, but nothing happens. Purim says, I don't care what you want to be. You are Jews, I'm going to kill you. By the way, reminds you of Hitler, Yimach Shemo V'Zichron. He didn't care, you could be Christian, he didn't care what you were. If you were for a Jewish origin, he killed you. So when we look at those things, we understand and realize that this is not an easy fight to understand the difference between us and the Greek culture. But we saw where it led the world. So, okay, they've got everything. But if everything is only for me, the minute that something is going to hurt me, I can become a beast. By the way, it's happening all the time to us. You don't have to look for the Greeks outside. They're inside. Here, each one of us got them. And this is our fight. This is why Hanukkah comes. And Hanukkah comes in the middle of the normal days. Because, you know, to be holy on Shabbos is very nice, but not a big deal. It's Shabbos. But to be holy in a normal day, that's a problem. What happens after Shabbos goes out? It's like the Rapin Kuzatzal writes. You see on Shabbos, this Jew, there are three levels of believing in God. We don't go into it because we've got no time. But just for the sake of it. A Jew looks at Shabbos, sits on his porch, enjoying the Shabbos, learning Torah, and this guy comes by and says, wow, what are you doing? You have a field to work. Well, what's going to happen to your in the field? What's going to happen to your parnosa? So, hey, it's Shabbos today. Nice. What happens when Motzei Shabbos come? They are the same. The Jew runs also to his fields and looks after his parnosa and does everything. Where is Shabbos? What happened to Shabbos? This is the idea of Hanukkah. To take the holiness into the normal days. And that's what we see, by the way, because the halacha says that when the candles are lit for half an hour, women especially are not allowed to do anything. Men, if they want, they can also participate, but only at this time. But if somebody is going not to work for the whole day, it's against halacha. Strange thing to write a thing like this in halacha. But the idea is very simple. The idea is, it's a normal working day, and in this working day, I'm going to put the holiness in, the light of the candles. And this is our job. In the dark, to light the candles. It's not a big deal to light a candle in the light. The chokhmah is to light it in the dark. In other words, to light a candle on Shabbos, it's me'en olam haba. But here we're in olam hazeh. In olam hazeh, we have to light a candle when? In the darkness, in the normal days. And Bezrat Hashem, if we do this, we'll have the big miracles of Hanukkah happening to us. And Bal Tzion Goel. And maybe we have, let's say, also a good government.